Hebrews chapter 11, and we will commence to read from the verse 23 of the chapter. That's breaking into the chapter at verse 23. Let us all hear the word of the Lord. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed them not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves off the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. And we trust indeed that the Lord will take his own precious word and write it upon all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. This stage of our service, we're going to ask our brother, Mr. Foster, to come and to bring us the necessary announcements, please. Thank you. Returning to the portion that we previously read, Hebrews chapter 11. And today we will focus our thoughts upon the words of verse 30. And we will, of course, be referring back to the chapter in the Old Testament, to the portion that deals with this account in the book of Joshua. But here we're reading from Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. With God's word open, let's just bow very briefly, momentarily, in prayer, please. Gracious God and eternal Father, we thank thee today for the scriptures of truth, the oracles of God. We bless thee for a more sure word of prophecy, for thy word that liveth and abideth forever. We bless thee that though heaven and earth shall pass away, thy word shall abide and last forever. And
Dear God, we pray that thou wilt guide us and instruct us and teach us as we turn to thee now for the preaching of thy precious word. Thou hast said that the Holy Spirit himself shall lead you and guide you into all truth. And we pray that thou wilt come this day and guide us, Lord, and direct our thoughts. We pray that as we read thy word and consider it, that we will see Christ. Lord, grant that there will be never a time when we will open the book of God and fail to see our Savior. But, O God, on every page, in every reading, may we see Jesus. We ask that thou wilt grant to this preacher the infilling of the Spirit of God, realizing that it is not a man to preach to the heart of man. This is a sovereign, special work of thy Spirit. And we cast ourselves upon thy mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are certain subjects that must be dealt with on a regular basis in order to have them fixed upon the hearts and the minds of God's people. One of those great truths and subjects is the truth that the just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul uses that particular terminology, the just shall live by faith, in at least three of his epistles. In the book of Romans, Galatians, and here in Hebrews. Now, in the book of Romans and Galatians, Paul uses the words, the just shall live by faith, to prove and to show how sinners are accepted before God. Oh, here is the grounds of the sinner's acceptance before God. God is holy. Man is unholy and unrighteous. How can therefore a man be accepted by God? It is on the grounds of justification by faith alone. It is by faith. And Paul uses that terminology, the just shall live by faith, to show that and to prove that in those two epistles. However, here in Hebrews chapter 11, while Paul is dealing with justification by faith and speaking about that and does mention it, here emphasis is placed upon the Christian patiently enduring the tests and the trials of life, because the Christian life is a life of faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 38 is the text of which Hebrews 11 is the sermon. Look at verse 38 of Hebrews chapter 11, or 10 rather. Paul says here, now the just shall live by faith. And as he makes that statement, he's not speaking so much about being accepted before God and having a right standing before God. Paul here is speaking about living the Christian life. The just, the saved, shall live by faith. A good way to look at Hebrews 11 is to view it as a sermon. And I'm just going to give you a very brief outline in passing just off the chapter, just as a sermon. One of the most important classes in any Bible college, and certainly in our own Bible college, is the homiletics class. Now, if my own minister, Dr. Douglas, was here, he would perhaps say it. No, maybe the exegesis class or Hebrew class, etc., would be the most important. But really, the preaching class, the homiletics class, or maybe Mr. Crane would have something else to say, the preaching class has to be viewed as the most important class. I remember first day in Bible college in the preaching class, and I had the great joy of being under the instruction of the Reverend Cook. And he said to us as students, he said, here's where it all comes together. He said, basically, over the next number of years, you're going to study great truths about the Bible. And he said, I want you to view this class as being like learning to cook and to bake. And he went on to say, you're going to go out and you're going to get all the ingredients, but here's where it all comes together. That was a good way of looking at it, wasn't it? Learning to preach. Here's where it all comes together. And he says, this is the most important class. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be standing before people and you're going to be preaching.
And we were taught there, mind you, I'm sure you're probably thinking there are times when the likes of myself preaching, we have abandoned and forsaken the principles of homiletics. You're taught the basics of sermon structure. In other words, you're taught the basics of how to form a sermon, how to put it together, what it actually consists of. One of the most popular sermon structures that is used today by preachers is here used by the Apostle Paul. And I'm actually using it this morning as I'm preaching. One of the most important, or one of the most common sermon structures is here used in Hebrews chapter 11. That sermon structure, let me just outline it very briefly. It consists of a text. In other words, you announce your text. Then you have an introduction. And then you make a proposition. In other words, a statement upon which you're going to base the rest of your sermon. And then you follow that statement up with the main points. Let's look at Paul's sermon here of Hebrews chapter 11. He announces his text in verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, of Hebrews chapter 10. Of course, we must remember here as we view Hebrews 11 that there are no chapter divisions in the original language. They have been put in as a help and as an aid, but there are no chapter divisions in the original language. So here we're reading verse 38. Paul says to the believers, here's my text, the just shall live by faith. And then he introduces what he's going to speak about. The latter part of chapter 10, he gives us an introduction. In fact, in verse 36, to the brethren there, he says, ye have need of patience. Oh, brothers and sisters, Paul's saying, you have need of patience. The Christian life, you see, it's a life of faith. It's a life of patient enduring. It's a life of patience. And then he develops this great theme in chapter 11. Look at verses 1 to 3. Paul explains the life of faith. Now, we haven't time to go into it, but he gives an explanation of the life of faith. What is this life of faith? What does it consist of? It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then Paul gives examples of the life of faith. He's saying, brothers and sisters, as we think about the Christian life of a life of faith, what he is saying is, let me give you examples of men and women who did live that life of faith. Oh, let us learn by their examples. Let us learn by how they lived their lives, how they conducted themselves. Great men and women like Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Sarah. Think of those people. Learn from their lives. Then think of the great exploits of the life of faith, Paul says. And throughout Hebrews chapter 11, he does mention many great exploits of the Christian life of faith. He speaks of great accomplishments. Paul points us to think of various victories that were given under the hand of God that show the result of the life of faith. The building of the ark, the passing through the Red Sea, the falling down of the walls of Jericho. Then he speaks of the endurance of the life of faith. How was it that these men and women endured? How was it that in spite of seeming possibilities, great trials and difficulties, why was it they pressed on? How could Abraham keep going in the wilderness? Why were Moses and the people able to keep pressing on? Why did they endure? And Paul outlines that and he deals with it. Then he speaks of the expectation of the life of faith. They kept pressing on. They kept going because they had their sight on heaven and on home. Abraham, we're told, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We could do well to look at any of those examples of the life of faith, learn from them. We would do well to look at any of the expectations that they had, why they kept pressing on. But this morning I want us to look at one of the great exploits that was wrought. We mentioned it in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And I want us to consider this great victory in order that we might receive encouragement and instruction for our own earthly pilgrimage. Let's here consider, first of all, the problem that the people faced. As we consider here this verse 30, we want to think of the problem that the people faced. Between verse 29 and verse 30 in Hebrews 11, there is a 40-year gap in mind and in view. Now, you have to keep that before you. Look at verse 29. Here we're reading about the passing through the Red Sea. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. So here you have the passing through the Red Sea. Now we're told, next of all, verse 30, about the walls of Jericho. Now you and I will know that by the time that they had passed through the Red Sea and passed into Jericho, that they had the people of God for 40 years had wandered in the wilderness. So that there is at least another 40 years here in view. There is, therefore, a new leader in view. Verse 29, the people were being led by Moses. Verse 30, the people are now being led by Joshua. They have a new leader. But I want you to see it, the problem that the people faced was no new problem. Now, Jericho was a very important city. It was one of those strategic cities. If the people of God were going to go into Canaan and possess the land, then they must take the city of Jericho. It must fall. That victory must be given. That was imperative. It certainly wasn't a very large city. And we can conclude that by the fact that for 7 days the people walked around the city of Jericho under instruction by God, but on the seventh day they walked around it 7 times. And therefore we conclude it wasn't a very large city because of the fact that they were able to walk around it 7 times in one day. But it was a strong city. It was a great city. It was a well-fortified city. It was said to have walls that were 25 feet high. They were 20 feet thick. And we're told here about something of the fact that the people who were living in Jericho, that they were aware of the people of God, and yet they remained opposed to it. Now, I want you to see that the problem that the people faced here was no new problem. If you turn with me, please, to Numbers and the chapter 13. As I said, we're going to be turning to a number of Old Testament passages, but here we're first of all looking at Numbers chapter 13. Let's look at verse 27. Now here in view, we have Moses sending out the spies, and the spies bringing the report back. The people were standing on the very edge of Canaan. They were about to go in. Moses sent the spies in, and this is the report they brought back. Verse 27, Numbers 13. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Oh, Moses, what a land! There's milk, there's bread, there's honey. What a land of provision! What goodness there is. Verse 28. Nevertheless, in other words, Moses, despite all of this, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And what happened? As a result of this evil report, as a result of this report, there was discouragement that set into the hearts of God's people. Now, for 3 days, only a number of days, they had passed through the Red Sea. They had stood now on the edge of Canaan. They were about to enter into the promised land. And then they're met with this report. What happened? Well, we know that the people of God became overwhelmed with fear and discouragement, and they turned back. And for 40 years, they then wandered in the wilderness. For 40 years. Think of it. They were on the edge of something wonderful. They were at the very edge of seeing God doing something tremendous for them. But because of their unbelief, because of their discouragement, they turned back. Now, I want you to see here the importance of the fact that here, as they now entered into Canaan, they still had to face those same obstacles. In other words, the problem that they faced was no new problem. Oftentimes, in our own life's experience, we do think and believe that we are the only people to face and encounter problems and difficulties. Paul's saying to the believers, the Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life of patience. You've got to patiently endure. But think of Jericho. Think of how the people there, they had to face the same problems. There has no temptation taken you, the apostle says, but such as is common to man. We are not to think that we are the only people to face a certain problem or a certain difficulty. We're not. The problem, therefore, was no new problem, but they were going to have to deal with it. They were going to have to take it head on, and they were going to have to face it. What a lesson there is there. In order to go forward and forth in the work of God, we need to maintain and we need to have the unity of the Spirit. What a lesson. The people of God here, when they were brought to Canaan, this time they were going to enter into the promised land once again. Now they were faced with Jericho. What were they going to do? They were going to have to confront that problem together. Instead of turning back, instead of giving up, they were going to have to unite together and face that problem. There is a great need for us to strive, to seek, to maintain the unity of the Spirit. We thank the Lord for the unity of the Spirit that there exists. But let us recognize and remember that the unity can be lost. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, chapters 4 to 6, deals with that great union that there exists between brother and brother in the Lord. And of the need to forbear one another in love. The need to learn to put small differences to the side. In order for the sake and the cause of the work of God, when there needs to be that unity and it needs to be maintained, it needs to be guarded. Jericho was inhabited by a people who were living in direct rebellion against the Lord. How do we know that? Turn to Joshua chapter 2, and here you'll find that this is recorded for us. In Joshua chapter 2, we're told here the fact that the people that they were facing were living in direct rebellion against the Lord. Chapter 2 of Joshua and the verse 9. This time, the spies were sent out. The first time the spies brought that report back, the people turned back. Now the spies are sent out again 40 years later. And here's what we learn of their report. In verse 9, and she said unto the men, that's Rahab, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now listen to this. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Notice what they said. Rahab was basically saying to the spies, listen, we know about your God. We have heard what happened at the Red Sea. We have heard that he's a great and all-powerful God. We have heard of the acts which he has done. We know that he rules. And yet, is it not a wonder, in spite of their knowledge and what they understood, that they still defy the Lord? That they still shut up the gates, that they would close up the walls, that they would not let the people of God through? The walls of Jericho is most certainly a clear picture
of the opposition of the world against the Lord and against his cause. This world in which we live is no friend to grace and to God. It is opposed to the gospel. It is opposed to the things of God. It is still close to the Lord as a way, and it will remain opposed to the Lord. Let me say it, the walls of Jericho was also a picture of that man or woman who remains opposed to the Lord and to his Christ. That man or woman or young person who defies the holy God of heaven, who closes up the door of their heart, who will, in defiance, reject the God of heaven, reject the gospel. I wonder, is there a young person here today? An older person? And even here, as we consider the walls of Jericho, it's just a picture of your heart and your life. You have a heart just like the walls of Jericho, the city of Jericho, shut to the things of God, closed in open defiance, and yet you know full well who God is. You know full well the offer of the gospel. You know your need of Christ. And yet you remain in opposition to the Lord. Well, let me warn you and say today from God's word that the people in Jericho who opposed the Lord, who defied the Lord, despite what they knew and understood, that they perished. They perished. And if you remain in your unsaved, unregenerate state, you too will perish. The problem that the people faced, it was no new problem. Consider here, moving on, the promise to favor them. They got a wonderful promise, and that promise was to favor them. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 6, which is in effect the chapter that deals with the walls of Jericho and the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Now Jericho was strictly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And then the Lord gives the instructions as to what must take place. In other words, here as they considered this problem, which was no new problem, it was one that they were now confronting. Here as they thought about this difficulty, and as they sought the Lord about the matter, the Lord said unto Joshua, I have given it into thine hand. Joshua, do not fear, do not worry. Jericho, I have given it to you, for the battle is mine. What confidence the people, therefore, must have gone forward with, and what faith. What encouragement it is for us as the people of God to know that as we war and we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we have the victory and the assurance through Christ, the assurance that the victory has already been won at Calvary. That we do not have to be stopped or brought to a standstill by the power of a defeated foe. We can and we ought to obtain the victory through Christ, our Savior. Let me say, it is not the will of God that God's people live a life of defeatism and live in defeat. It's not God's will. Rather, that we would live and we would enjoy and know the blessing of that victory through Christ. That we would triumph over the world, the flesh, and the devil through Christ and only by his grace. The promise to favor them. The Lord gave them this wonderful promise that he would deliver it into their hands. Oh, praise God, as we go forth as the people of God, we have the promises of God in the book of God. That the Lord has promised to favor we, his people. The Lord has promised to favor us, to bless us. Think of the fact that although Jericho was closed to the Lord and against the way of God,
that there within Jericho, the Lord had a people that he would save, Rahab and her family. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, Rahab herself is mentioned. Look at verse 31. And you would almost think, as you would read down through this chapter, that as you consider that here we're reading of Moses and Enoch and Noah and Joseph, etc., here you would almost think, humanly speaking, that Rahab's name is out of place, for she is the only Gentile mentioned. But not only that, here was a woman who was living right down in the very depths of sin and degradation. And it's just as if we had forgot about that, that the Lord reminds us of her life. In verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And it's as if the Lord here is going into his treasure bag. And he's saying to the world, now as you think of the Christian life and the great life of faith, oh, think of Moses. Look at this life here. Learn from the life of Enoch. Think of the life of Noah. Child of God, think of that Christian life and how they lived that life. Learn from that life. Follow in that walkway. But it's as if the Lord goes into his treasure bag and then he pulls out this precious and this rare jewel, this gem, and he holds it up before the world and he says, now listen, here is my power to save. Here is my right arm in salvation. Think of the harlot Rahab, a woman who was right down in the very depths of sin, a woman who was unclean. Here is my power to save. As we go forth into the world, what an encouragement that is for us. As we would seek to be ambassadors and soul winners for Jesus Christ, to know with assurance and certainty that our God is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through Christ. We can take great encouragement from Rahab, can't we? The promise to favor them. There was also then the plan that they followed. And what a plan that it was. And the Lord gave that plan. In Joshua chapter 6, we read about the plan. In verse 3 we read, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. How was the victory wrought and given? The answer is simple, it was by faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho. It was by faith, and by faith alone, that the victory was secured. All human means were excluded. There was no military weaponry involved. There was no war council called. The people were given simple instructions. For 6 days, they must march around. They must walk around the city. Then on the 7th day, they were to walk around that city 7 times, making 13 times in total. Oh, there's a lesson there, is there not? The Lord was teaching his people. He was showing them that the life that they were living is a life of faith. They had to believe God. It wasn't because of their weapons. It wasn't because of their numbers that they were going to pull down the walls and see the victory given. No, they must simply trust God. And so they walked around that city. And each day as they walked around the city, they were learning a very valuable lesson. They must believe what God has said. If they're going to see Jericho and the walls come down, they must believe God. In fact, in verse 10 of Joshua chapter 6 is a very important statement. Joshua 6 verse 10, we read, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout.
Oh, what a lesson there.
And Joshua said to the people, now listen, for 6 days as you walk around that city, and then on the seventh day, seven times, each time as you walk around that city, there's to be no speech, no talk. There's to be no place given for murmuring, no place to backbiting, no place to discouragement.
It was not because of human wisdom, it's not because of human strength, not because of numbers. It's not by power nor by might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
The problem that they faced wasn't going to be overcome in a day. Wasn't going to be overcome in one day. They were going to have to learn what it is to trust in God and to rest upon Him, to patiently endure.
Paul says, "Ye have need of patience. Think of Jericho. Think of the people there just walking around the city, not saying a word, silently.
Just believing God. Just putting their faith in Him." In closing, we haven't time to look at it, but there is a provision of their faith. The provision of their faith. The Word of God here records that it was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell down, and it's very clearly seen from Joshua chapter 6. Verse 20 of Joshua 6 is very important. It gives us here what we would call the divine order, the order of events. On the seventh day, when the Lord gave that victory, here we're told of the order of that victory, those events. Verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Notice the order. The trumpets are blown, the people shout, the wall came down flat. We would expect the opposite. We would expect the victory to be given and then to begin to praise God for it. But oh no. Here they believe God. The Lord had said to them, He made the promise. He had said to them that He would grant that those walls would come down. He gave the order of events. He told them what must take place. They were simply carrying out God's instructions, following through with the plan. And their faith secured the victory. It was by faith the victory was given. Child of God, the Christian life is a life of faith. We do have need of patience. Let us learn from Jericho. Let us think of the people there. Let us think of how they silently trusted God. Let us think of what was accomplished. They went in to possess the land of Canaan. Great blessing. They sing. And they witnessed Rahab and her family secured and saved. Well, we can see that too in the lives of sinners. Let us patiently endure, trusting and believing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We're having time for a closing hymn. We're just going to bow together in prayer. I want to thank you for your attention. Let's just think of what we have been speaking about. Let's just bow in prayer. The people had to be silent. There's an important lesson there. If we haven't anything positive to say, then it's best that we're silent. It's best that we're quiet. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this chapter that we have been thinking about in Hebrews 11. We think of the great exploit, the walls of Jericho. We think, O God, of how that victory was wrought through faith. Dear Father, we pray that Thou wilt increase our faith. Help us to believe God. He that cometh to Him must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Lord, we pray that we will learn from these examples and these exploits, that we will patiently endure. Help us to recognize that when trials and difficulties come, that we're not the only people to face them. But help us to realize that together as thy people, we must unitedly confront our problems and difficulties and go through. We must believe God and rest upon thee. We think of some here, Lord, whose hearts are hard, closed just like the walls of Jericho and the gates. We ask for mercy upon such. Even as thou dost have mercy upon Rahab and save Rahab and her family, we pray for individuals here that thou wilt speak to them and have mercy on such. Bring the wandering one to Jesus. Separate us now in thy fear and with thy favor. For Jesus' sake, amen.